The Story of Birds, An Evolutionary History of the Dinosaurs That Live Among Us, by Steve Brusati, read by Patrick Lawler. A note before we begin. Don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider. It contains a timeline, a bird family tree, and notes on sources. For my parents, Jim and Roxanne Brusati, who encouraged me from the moment I developed a teenage dinosaur fascination and supported me every step of the way from the Midwest to Scotland. Prologue. Birds all around us. One Saturday afternoon in spring, when the sun had finally broken through months of gray Scottish gloom, my wife Anne and I joined some friends for a boat ride. The journey was quick, just a few minutes by water from the pier on Edinburgh's North Sea coast to Inchcolme Island, site of a decaying 12th-century monastery. As the ferry glided toward the ruins, a plump puffin swam alongside our wake, paddling with its feathery wings, looking up with its wide eyes, and crooning a sweet ballad with its orange and black striped beak. It peeled off as we reached the harbor and dropped anchor, off to catch fish for lunch, or maybe charm tourists in the cruiser behind us. Time now for us to disembark, and as we did so, the captain shouted out a warning about a decidedly less enchanting bird.
"Don't provoke the gulls. It's their breeding season."
Anne and I heeded the captain's command, as did most of our group. But our friend Dan Goldberg was more cavalier. A mathematician who builds computational models of glaciers, he's a keen hiker and hill walker when he's not in front of his laptop screen. But it had been a long winter, and he was a little too eager to be outdoors. He leapt in front of us and bounded onto the path toward the abbey, past the crumbling cloisters, off to the rocky edge of the island, where old World War II fortifications blended into the shoreline. We tried to keep pace, but couldn't catch up. That was when we heard it. A shriek so shrill that, had you been one of the monks marooned on the island centuries ago, you might have thought it was a demon. Dan turned back toward us and broke into a sprint. A flash of gray and white raced across the sky. Dan stumbled and his hand shot up to his neck.
"It got me!"
he shouted, his head darting this way and that, looking up and down and left and right, attempting to make sense of what happened, trying to spot his assailant. After a few moments of calm, he picked himself up off the ground and brushed the dirt from his knees. "That was stupid," he said as he realized he had gotten too close to the gull's chicks. Shaking his head, he snickered with the self-deprecating confidence of someone who thought they had survived a funny ordeal. And we were laughing, too. But the danger was not over. High above, riding thermals of rising air, the mother gull was contemplating her next move. Dan had stumbled into her nursery, and her vulnerable chicks were still down below in the nest on the ground, made of grass and lichens and feathers. Just a few days old, they could barely walk, much less fly. The father gull was out finding food, so it was up to the mother to protect her brood from this careless computer programmer, who to her was simply a mammalian interloper. Dan motioned for us to come forward, thinking it was safe. But as he started back on the path, walking toward the coastline, a dive bomber stormed down from the heavens, an aerial assassin on a mission of motherly love. Her bright yellow beak was her weapon, a pair of scissors and a spear in one, the natural red spot near its tip camouflaging the bits of blood she drew each time she circled back and pecked Dan on the neck. All he could do was run. And us too, back to the safety of the monastery, where we took sanctuary within the walls of the old church. To be honest, while I look back at it with humor, those few minutes were actually quite harrowing. The mother gull on the warpath, nature red in tooth and claw. And it stirred other emotions in me too. I couldn't shake a feeling. It felt, in a way, prehistoric.